Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. We keep Tom on the other side of the glass during the COVID. No, he's always on that side of the glass, engineering and producing our program. Tom, it sometimes feels like you're kind of like in another world over there.
Well, I wonder if that sign that says, please do not feed the animals, anything to do with it.
Gotta wonder sometimes. Anyway, we are in on this side of the glass in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, the final Friday already of January the 29th, 2020, as we wrap up the first full month of our 11th year, into our 11th year right here on the very radio on 1030, Tucson's source for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening and podcasts at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line. Our guests are presented courtesy of Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Big shout out on Friday to Dylan Smith at TucsonSentinel.com, one of our fine media partners. Dylan, how are you?
I'm doing all right. It seems to be warming up just a little bit outside, so that's a relief. I mean, that snow was an interesting contrast, but it was a little chilly for me.
And congratulations, Dylan! You launching in now to year 12, 11 full years under your belt with the online news service TucsonSentinel.com.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, it has. This week. Also, yeah. Dylan, we want to do a couple more big shout-outs to our media friends, Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, the Tucson local media group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, the Tucson Weekly. Later in the show, we'll hear from the weeklies, Jim Ninsel, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. With us on the live line for our Friday Focus interview today, Tucson City Manager Mike Ortega. Mr. Ortega, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Anybody who's met you knows you're a rather buffed guy. You are a weightlifting hobbyist. How does the COVID situation, are you lifting at home in like a home gym facility?
I am not. I've been doing exercises as best I can, doing push-ups and things, but it's really put a damper on some of that stuff that I like to do on occasion.
Well, you have some heavy lifting with the Tucson City Council. There was a special meeting yesterday. This was a billed as a retreat. It was done virtually, but it was open to the public, and there was some business that did transpire. What was the message, Mike Ortega, from the budget meeting about this very difficult spending program that will have to be agreed upon?
Sure. So it's really the second in a series of conversations with the council as to what the budget's looking like for next year. One of the things that I've worked on all fiscal year, starting back in July, was to brief the council monthly on where we are revenues to expenditures, just to give them an opportunity to make whatever tweaks are necessary to the budget in real time, as opposed to waiting until quarterly reports or even longer reports are available. So yesterday's presentation let them know that we're on track to be in the black at the end of the fiscal year. So still some things that need to materialize, at least as far as projections go, but we're looking a little better than what I had originally thought when we were looking at the start of the fiscal year. They did give me direction to look at ways to invest additional dollars in our roads, particularly neighborhood roads. I think the motion was to look at an additional $14 million for neighborhood road investment. So we'll be looking at that and come back to them with some strategies going forward.
That program, the road improvement program, where are we in that? And is this $14 million? Is that like a drop in the bucket? Give us some kind of perspective, if you would, Mr. Ortega.
Sure. I think you might be referring to the half-cent sales tax that was approved by the voters a bit ago. So that's scheduled to expire in June of 22. So basically 17 months now. The that sales tax will expire. Those dollars have been used for both residential and arterial or large collector type roadways. So that's on a, we'll call it a separate track, but obviously related. The council continues to challenge me, quite frankly, to look for ways to address some of our challenges with regard to roads. We've got potholes, we've got failing infrastructure with regard to the pavement all over the city. Magnitude-wise, we're in the hundreds of millions of dollars that are necessary to bring our roads up. And so when we ask for, or we're given $14 million, that's still a lot of money. It really isn't enough for us to address the need. But it does demonstrate the commitment the council has to really addressing the roads as best we can using differing sources of money to take care of that situation.
And before I give it over to Dylan, would that $14 million go to primarily potholes? It is a drop in the bucket, but might fill some potholes.
Absolutely, Bill. The intent is that it would be used very much like our gas tax money. So it would go specifically to, and the motion was specific to neighborhood streets. So they won't, we won't be expending these dollars anyway on arterials or collectors. We'll be looking at the neighborhood streets as really where we've had the biggest need here of late.
All right, let's bring in our friend Dylan Smith. Go ahead, Dylan.
Continuing on the topic of the budget, because now's the time of year to really dig into those details. Much of the city's budget is dependent on sales tax revenue, right? And how much are we down right now compared to what might be considered an ordinary year? We've got a whole lot of people who are spending less money.
Sure. So the vast majority of our general fund is sales tax, and there's different sources of that. There's the local sales tax. There's the state shared sales tax. There's also a piece that's what we call state shared revenues that are income tax. So we get a portion of the state's income tax that's given to the local entities. But the reason that the economy affects the city government so dramatically and so quickly if sales go down is because of that sales tax, Dylan, which you're absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
So we had projected a 15% drop in sales tax starting in July, of 20, which hasn't materialized. We've been holding our own. I'll call it breaking even, and in some areas actually going up. So the dissection of that, I think, is key and important because as we went from a, we'll call it brick and mortar shopping experience for folks, that transaction, we went to online sales. And so about a year and a half ago, there was a case called the Wayfair case that was basically a challenge by an entity over sales tax for online sales. So the Supreme Court gave us direction that charging sales tax for online sales is legal and can occur. And so we believe that the reason there has not been a significant drop, we haven't seen growth, but we haven't seen a significant drop, is because people have changed their shopping habits from bricks and mortar to online sales. So right now, today, we're actually holding our own from where we have been in the past. Again, no growth, but we have seen a small dip, but it's not been nearly the amount that we were thinking.
Wow!
And you get a fairly regular picture of that because you're getting money from the state, like on a monthly basis, not a just here's what you get for the year kind of plan, right?
Right. So we do get a plan.
So you're basically getting paid by the state as we go along for what they're pulling in.
Absolutely. So we lag about 2 months behind what the state mm-hmm. revenue and when the revenues are going. So what's key about that is we watch the state revenues very closely because that'll be an indicator of where we are, where we're going to be. And the state was projecting, I'm going to say, about $1 billion deficit, something like that, this fiscal year. And they're actually now projecting a positive, and I'm going to go on a limb here, it's a few hundred million dollar positive swing. So that tells me that we were all expecting a more serious hit on those sales tax, but they've actually held their own. And the best that I can dissect, at least at this point, and determine is because of that online sales.
Does Amazon collect state sales or local sales on a purchase? Do you know, Mr. Ortega?
You know, Bill, I'm not sure how they do it. I know that if you order online, there's a line that says tax, mm-hmm. and they then transmit that to the state, which then distributes it back to the cities. So the key piece to that is that, you know, before they weren't, unless you ordered and were delivered in the state, there was no tax. Today, you actually pay a transaction tax coming from wherever it is that you order it, and that's up to the you know, the online seller.
Mike Ortega is with us. It's our Friday Focus interview. The program is Buckmaster. We're on 10:30 in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Dylan, you know what time it is, don't you?
You know, I'm feeling a little bit peckish.
Like what I did today, like having one of those giant cinnamon rolls this morning, and made a Mona's run today. I really had the munchies for one of the cinnamon rolls that are like half the size of a Frisbee. And
no, I woke up this morning craving a cinnamon roll. I got out of bed to go get my coffee. And I was like, I wish I had a cinnamon roll right now.
Well, I'll tell you that Mona's Danish Bakery really puts together a beautiful cinnamon roll. For a while, I was so much into the blueberry muffins with the giant tops. And then, of course, they are home of the Danish Kringle. But I was pretty good about it. The thing is so big, I only took... maybe a quarter, well, a little more than a quarter before coming into the studios today. They are open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's Danish Bakery, their website, monasdanishbakery.com. Mike Ortega, city manager, with us. And we'll be back with Dylan Smith right after the break.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined, 'cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear courtesy Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management on our live line. And our live line is very busy today. Both lines are occupied. On line number one, our Friday Focus interview, Mike Ortega, Tucson City Manager. And then on the other live line, Dylan Smith, from editor, publisher, founder, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, you had a follow-up question about the budget. Why don't you pursue that?
Sure. Before we completely switch to a new topic, what I'm curious about is not just the revenue side, but the expense side. What tasks has the city had to tackle in response to COVID-19 that have really, changed what you have to spend money on over the past year? And what are you thinking about for, what you'll have to do for that next year?
Sure. That's a great question, Dylan. And I think the pandemic has really changed our lives, all inclusive. So it's not just some of the challenges that you see and hear about and read about, but as an employer, as an organization that's charged with providing service, it's changed the way we do business. And so, for example, we had to basically shut down most all of our rec centers. So those mm-hmm. programs, the programming around that was pretty much shut down. Well, we figured out that one of the ways to get out to the people and have conversations and give them opportunity for recreation was to develop mobile rec sites, mobile rec units. So, through the council's leadership, we were able to secure six vans. We're equipping them. And so we will start going out into the neighborhoods as opposed to having making an assumption that people will come into the rec center. So that's just but one. Then we've got all sorts of physical improvements that had to be made when we interact with the public. Everything from, our security folks now also take temperatures, to installing, the plexiglass and the things that a lot of other businesses have done. Ultimately, the chemistry has changed in that we don't gather like we used to. So, for example, early in the morning, all of the garbage truck drivers would get their morning orders and so forth in a large room, standing room only, everybody's packed in there. We don't do that anymore. We now do it different ways. We do it either in writing or we do it in smaller groups and we do it outside, those kinds of things. So The approach that we've taken has definitely had to evolve and change because of the pandemic.
One of those approaches, over the years, you and I and some other folks have had just kind of floated the idea of why not make the buses free? And here you've kind of been pushed into tackling that experiment. How's that going? And is there any possibility of just continuing to have SunTran riders ride for free?
Yeah. So, there's been great conversation and really leadership on the part of the council to say, look, we've got folks that are really struggling the economy in terms of some of the challenges, some of the types of work that are out there are either going away or people haven't been able to go to work, but they still need to use the public transportation system. So they said, we're not charging. And that was early on in the pandemic. So, we've got to figure out a way to make it easier for folks to get around. Fortunately, last year we did get some federal money, some coronavirus relief money to help offset that, which worked out great. That ran out here about 30 days ago, and so I went to the council and said, look, we've got to have a conversation around this because those dollars need to be somehow replenished. Well, last week we got notice that we got some more federal money that'll help offset that. So what I've asked the staff to do is make projections for no fares through the end of the fiscal year, so through June. Another projection, no fares through the end of the calendar year, December. And then a projection, no fare, no fees through the end of the fiscal year, which would be next June. And I haven't seen that yet, Dylan. What I'm expecting is then once I see what the impact of that might look like, factoring federal dollars and other dollars that you know, we can scrounge and scrape up, then I can come back to the council with a recommendation as to, okay, this is what it looks like, and here's some things that you can consider going forward.
I want to talk a little bit about the 911 call center. KGUN9, the ABC affiliate in Tucson, had the findings of a 40-page audit. It's a pretty scathing report card about our 911 call center here in Tucson. Are you concerned about that, Mike Ortega?
Bill, absolutely. I'm concerned anytime that we have a situation or there's a report like that that's out there. It's a concern. You know, clearly, it is an area that's extremely important. We'll call them the first responders, right? When someone needs help, they need to, when they call 911, they need to make sure that we've got, the appropriate service online and ready to go. And so that identified some of the challenges that we are facing. I think that I recently had a leadership change there, and I've got a new person in charge on an interim basis, Mr. Chad Kazmar. You may know him or remember him. He was the deputy chief for the police department.
Yes, I remember.
So he's a good guy, and I think he's going to do great. So my charge to him was real simple, saying, look, we have some challenges there. I want you to dissect it. I want you to come up with some recommendations, and let's figure out what we're going to do to fix it and make sure that we are providing not only the resources but the support structure for those folks to be successful.
So you've
very difficult job.
You've basically charged him, say, hey, look, you got to clean up a mess, to put it bluntly.
Let's just say that it wasn't exactly those words, but it definitely got my attention. How's that?
So all right.
We need to make some changes and do some things.
Dylan Smith.
Speaking of potential changes, the city right now is kind of fighting a big change to our elections. Are we going to have an election this year? Or, you know, right now you're involved in a lawsuit regarding a law passed by the Republicans in the state legislature trying to get us to push our elections into even-numbered years so they would correspond with, the statewide and federal elections. What's going on with that? Where are we?
Sure. So I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think it was last week or the week before oral arguments were made in front of the court. And at this point, we're just waiting. We're waiting for them to give us the nod one way or the other. We are going down the path, making the assumption we will have an election this year per our city charter. All the arguments about, basically this is a decision that's made by the local voters, not by the state legislature. And so, you know, the fact that the city charter was voted on by the city voters, we believe, supersedes the state. Well, that's the argument. And so the arguments have now been made. They've now been made in front of the court, and we're waiting patiently to hear back from the court on their decision. And we expect that, we don't know when, but we're hoping by the end of next month we'll have a little better indication.
Mike Ortega.
Right about now is when people should be, announcing that they're running and starting to, get their campaigns going, getting their signatures and all of that, right?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I just saw an email within the last several days anyway from our city clerk outlining the schedule, basically saying, okay, folks, you need to know that this is what the schedule is for the 21 election based on the assumption we're going down that path.
The Arizona Department of Environmental Quality this summer will start operating a pilot treatment plant to remove contamination from Tucson Water's central well field. The contaminants are from a class of man-made chemicals, commonly known as PFAS compounds. Bottom line, Mike Ortega, is the city of Tucson serving its customers safe drinkable water?
Absolutely, serving safe drinkable water. And we go to great lengths to test and make sure that that's the case. I think the city has had a great history of being very transparent and making sure that we are at the cutting edge, if you will, of safe drinking water. And so the state is going down a path to clean up wells that we are not using for our drinking water. And they're going down the path to take care of that. But our water and our wells and our systems, absolutely. And that's very, very open. And if anyone's interested, we can get that information. It's on our website at TucsonAZ.gov. And you can hit on water, and it'll take you to the water department. And there is a lot of information that's available there for people to look at.
All right. Before I give it over to you, Dylan, for a final question, I want to talk a little bit about COVID vaccine. The USA Today report showing Arizona is one of 16 states that's not fully utilizing the vaccine. 50%, I think, is the figure that was given. And that's really maddening when I read a story like that and when those of us who are over 65 and we're still waiting to get our shots and we read something like that. Mike Ortega, how associated are you with this rollout plan, or is that a county function? Are you getting some input into this, or what's your role in all of this as city manager?
Sure, Bill. So the short answer is yes, it is a county function, and that they do have the responsibility for the rollout. However, we are partnering very closely with the county. We have stood up the TCC as one of the vaccination sites. It's pretty much entirely run by the city. We do have our partners from the county and from TMC there as well. But the city is basically organizing and running that. We're using our firefighters and our EMTs to give the vaccines and administer the vaccines and going down that path. I can tell you that in my conversations with the county, the goal, which we believe has been achieved, is to have more capacity to give vaccines than we are actually getting. So as of earlier this week, and these numbers might be dated, but as of earlier this week, capacity within the sites that the county has established, the TCC being the one that's given out the most so far, we have a capacity of about 6,000 vaccines per day. And we're only getting about 4,000 vaccines per day from the state. So the bottleneck is truly up at the state. And we have made a commitment within our organization. The mayor has shown a lot of leadership on this, saying we'll put whatever resources are necessary to make sure that we have more capacity for vaccines than what we're actually getting. So the problem is not Pima County or Tucson, Arizona. I can assure you that, Bill.
Dylan, do you want to weigh in on this? Because there's a lot of finger pointing going on about why we are not getting that vaccine down here to Pima County. Do you have some thoughts that you could share with us? Because I know you're following this COVID story very closely.
Let's just say it's a giant mess. And assume that's followed with a couple of words I probably shouldn't even say on the radio.
No, but, please don't.
There are a lot of legitimate fingers to be pointed in a lot of directions. You can't say it's like one specific fault, although the fact that, basically all of the states were left to kind of muddle around and try and figure things out on their own, without getting a whole lot of information from the federal government under the Trump administration. There was a lot of emphasis at the federal level to support getting these vaccines developed with a couple of the companies, but not really the sort of granular logistical planning that you might expect from an organization that really does have a whole lot of people who are experts in logistics. And that just kind of got left by the wayside, and really it's just now being figured out. So it's probably going to be, you know, a little bit more time before, you know, states really get a handle on how much vaccine they will be getting. And then, the local authorities, the counties and cities and the hospitals and other organizations that are actually dealing with getting vaccines directly to people will be able to plan better. That's kind of the bottleneck right now, is it's, you can't sign people up to get a vaccine, 3 weeks from now if you don't actually know you're going to be able to give them a shot.
Yeah, it's very frustrating for sure. Dylan, I need to wrap it up with Mike Ortega. Did you have anything else on your plate that perhaps would elicit a rather short response?
Well, I don't know about a short response. I have a short question. When we were talking, you mentioned that the HACCP tax for roads in the city of Tucson is going to be expiring pretty soon. What are your contingency plans? Are you going to try and recommend that the council pursue renewing that, or are you just going to try and deal with our massive road problems without that extra money? What's going on?
So the council asked me to come back to them with a game plan for how we might address improvements to the roads beyond the $14 million. So I plan to do that here in the next 30 days. I'll be looking in and establishing not only what the need is, but then what opportunities there are for additional funding, and the HACCP and sales tax conversation is one of them.
I've got a quick question as well. What about police staffing? Is the attrition rate still really hurting right now, Mike Ortega?
It is, Bill, and that has got me very concerned. I'm working to develop some strategies for how we can reduce the attrition, but it does have me very concerned.
How many are we losing every month? Can you even put a number on that?
The last number that I saw, which is dated about 30 days old, was about 13 a month.
Wow.
Is what I heard from the chief. And I'm going back a little bit in my memory banks. I don't have it in front of me, but that's what I remember right off.
And we've got the chief next week here on the program, so obviously we'll get into that. Mike Ortega, thank you very much. Stay safe.
Thank you, and thanks for having me. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Dylan, stick around. We'll continue with the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. Our guests appear on our live line, courtesy Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today. Our thanks to Mike Ortega, Tucson City Manager. Some interesting information came out of that the city's actually doing quite well because they're collecting sales tax on all this e-commerce that is going on. Dylan Smith was with me on the interview with Mr. Ortega, Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan sticks around on one of our live lines, and on the other live line is Jim Ninsel, the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. Jim, how are you? How's your day going?
So far, so good, Bill. It's Friday. So,
yeah, that's good.
I'm going to wrap up and take a couple days. Getting out to the circus tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, family circus.
Yeah.
Take the kids to the drive-in circus, stay in our car and watch the acrobats.
Well, the kids are going to have a ball, and they'll probably want to face paint and all that stuff. Who knows?
I don't know. We'll get too close to the face painters.
Yeah, that's right. That's
with a mask on your face.
I was thinking you would do the face painting at home, taking the kids. No, let's don't go there. Anyway,
we'll see what they look like.
Yeah. Republican Party Chair Kelly Ward, who was narrowly reelected to another 2-year term, heading up the state GOP. Now she was also, of course, a leader in the Stop the Steal movement. Now, Jim, the tables are kind of turned here. The runner-up, the first runner-up in this vote count, wants another look at those votes.
Yeah, Southern Arizona political activist Sergio Arellano is questioning the results. He's saying, hey, where's the transparency here? Can we get an audit of this? And, we're just not going to be able to have any faith in these results until we get them audited and it's clear that this was a legitimate election. And it's certainly, I think, a lot of chatter within the business end of the Republican Party that is not very fond of Kelly Ward, and her style of leadership is kind of delighting in having her tangled up in the same things, the same baseless allegations. I don't even know that they're baseless when it comes to the Arizona Republican Party, because we don't know who's running their elections or how they're counting the votes. But there's certainly been a number of baseless claims she's made in lawsuits that have gone nowhere over the last few months. And I think Kelly is such a lightning rod for the Republican Party. I mean, the base of the party just loves her, but the business community, especially over the last few months, sees her as a very toxic individual. And I think that's got a lot to do with the fact that under her leadership, they've managed to lose the two U.S. Senate seats. They lost the presidential race in this last election. They've lost a number of statewide seats in Arizona government, like Secretary of State and Superintendent of Public Instruction. And I just think, she says, well, we won a lot of down ballot races, but that's like, asking Mrs. Lincoln, other than that, how was the play? I just think that, this is a really amusing story to come out this week. And we'll see whether Kelly subjects her own election to the same sort of scrutiny that she believes the state election should have received. And we'll find out what goes on after that.
Dylan,
a lot of allegations floating around that people were at that meeting of just the state Republican Party, and you know they're basically state organizing committee, that people were allowed to vote multiple times, and some questions about it that coming from people who are, you know, themselves pretty involved Republican Party activists for some of them, you know, for quite a long time.
There are going to be some major changes if some Republicans in the state legislature have their way on what they call election reform, Dylan, about the way, various changes to the whole mail-in balloting system.
Right now there's a proposal to require anyone who wants to cast an early ballot to mail it in to have to get their signature notarized. So get it witnessed by somebody independent who, you know, verifies their identity, rather than the current process of you signing the envelope that you send your ballot in and having that compared to the signature that's on file. You know, the practice that we've been following for decades in this state. There's another proposal, a bill in the legislature that would specifically in Arizona state law give the state legislature the authority to toss out the results of the presidential election in this state if they didn't like it, and just say that, you know, most recently, to give an example, that, you know, no, Biden didn't win here, Trump actually won. We'll give all of our electoral votes to the candidate who people did not actually vote for.
Hmm. Jim, a story that didn't get a lot of traction locally, it was in the Arizona Capital Times. A sitting state senator, actually, Wendy Rogers, a former legislative aide, now has filed an ethics complaint. What is that aide alleging, Jim Nitzel?
Well, with Wendy Rogers, it's hard to know where to start. But he is alleging that he worked on her campaign, and then she hired him as an aide. And he was out with he had tested positive for the coronavirus, so he was out for a certain number of days in order to, you know, clear the virus and not infect others at the legislature and wherever else he might have gone. And Wendy was very skeptical about this. She's been a real skeptic about the dangers of the coronavirus ever since it really started rolling out around here. And she says that he dragged her into her office and was screaming at him and so
what?
Much that her spit was in her face. Her spit was in his face.
What?
Really just giving him a riot act about how he how we are at war and he doesn't understand the stakes of what's at stake here in the nation. And you know, she's been a real odd cat for a long time, running for Congress over and over again. And she has, you know, through that, built up quite a fundraising apparatus. She spent about $1 million on winning that legislative seat against Sylvia Allen, who was one of the most conservative lawmakers up there. But what Wendy was able to convince the Republican voters up there that Sylvia was not conservative enough. And I think a lot of the Republicans up there are even unhappy about having to serve with Wendy. She's just not, I think, a very stable individual.
According to the Arizona Capital Times, this aide is very concerned about his a medical issue now, that his hand, he says, was nearly broken when she slammed the door on his hand.
Yeah, he tried to open the door and call for help in the midst of being this verbal assault upon him, and tried to get another aide in there so that he'd have a witness, and she slammed the door shut and caught his hand in it.
He
suffered an injury. So,
Dylan, never a dull moment, is there, up at the legislature?
It's certainly an interesting place, let's just say.
Dylan, were you surprised that the city is in better shape than it is, than we had thought? That kind of was an interesting reveal in our interview with Mr. Ortega today about the sales tax.
I think there are, you know, a couple of ways to look at that. Having a more reliable stream of revenue from online sales taxes than we have had, you know, in you know, years ago, is, you know, definitely a boost. Does that mean that Tucson is in the same fiscal shape it would be without the pandemic? No, we would have more money. We'd have more sales tax revenue if not for that. But, you know, coming in essentially flat is, you know, certainly makes it much easier to deal with what's going on, at least for the moment. And it's, you know, looking like if we can keep rolling out the vaccines and get that on track to get enough people vaccinated, that, you know, we're not going to, you know, run into a complete depression because of the, you know, ongoing sort of, you know, tightening of everyone's belts.
And it looks like they're going ahead with city election this year, Jim Nenzel. So do we hear of any challenges to the incumbents?
I have not heard yet, but my attention hasn't been focused on those campaigns. I don't even know if all the folks up have announced that they're seeking another term, because I've been a little out of the loop on that front. But I do know that there's you know, this legal issue still hanging out over whether the city will have to move its elections to even years, and it seemed like, from what I read of the arguments in front of the Supreme Court was fairly skeptical of the arguments being made by the attorneys for the state who were arguing that the state legislature had passed this law, and they said it was a matter of statewide interest. And the question, because Tucson is a charter city, is whether that's actually the case, and we'll see where that goes.
All right, Jim Nenzel, we're going to have to let you go. What's in the weekly this week, quickly?
Oh, in the weekly this week, we have an excerpt from Gary Paul Nabham's latest book, a collection of essays actually about the desert, a terrific resource in our communities. It's a big footprint with all the work that Gary has done. Also, a terrific column by Brian Smith about an Indian trader who has a shop up at Kolb and Sunrise, the Desert Sun shop up there, and his whole life and how he got into the business. And just as usual, one of the most fascinating reads that we get in the weekly from Brian Smith.
We like Mr. Smith's work, and there's another Mr. Smith on the line too. We like your work as well, Dylan. Dylan, thank you very much. Anything you want to quickly point out?
Well, I just want to, you know, basically wish everyone a happy March 334th.
Yeah, that's for sure. Anyway, guys, have a great weekend. Stay safe. Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Take care of yourself, everybody.
Thanks. Buckmaster on a Friday continues Weekend Watch with Matt Russell's next.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust. by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
There you go. Stir it up, baby. A little Bob Marley music. Signals, another weekend watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We've all got our fingers crossed that the day is coming, hopefully very soon, that we can pile in the car, take that three-hour drive east of Tucson to a beautiful area of the land of enchantment, New Mexico, Silver City. So much to do over there, so many great outdoor activities, and some great places to stay. Start your plan now. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. Here he is, the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great, never better. My default Friday response, of course.
What are you doing as far, you know, we haven't talked about a good brew on the show in a couple of weeks. Anything going on?
Yeah, you bet. You know, there's a great food and beverage pairing event today at 5 o'clock at the Arizona Beer House on Broadway and Kolb. It's crepes. Some people say crepes, but crepes and craft beer. And there will be plenty of each to get your weekend started. The Planet of the Crepes food truck will be on hand to serve up their best. And it's not just about the sweet varieties, Bill. Their savory crepes are particularly noteworthy, like their fig and duck crepes, which are, I think, the best pairing with some of the many local brews that will be flowing from the tap. It's crepes and craft beer at the Arizona Beer House today at 5 o'clock.
A lot of people like something special on Super Bowl Sunday, but they may not want to dine in. Any way to dine out?
Absolutely. Only a week remaining until the kickoff of Super Bowl 55. Our friends at Commoner & Co. are now taking pre-orders for their three signature Super Bowl butcher boxes,
ooh,
which are designed to feed smaller crowds of up to eight. Each of the boxes features a variety of proteins from the land and sea, ranging from huge porterhouse steaks to burgers to cedar plank salmon. But the fun thing about them is that all of the proteins are packaged raw, so you can add your own signature touches when you do the grilling at home for the big game. So they even come with instructions. They're taking pre-orders this weekend at 257-1177.
How about wanting to play in the snow and get some comfort food at the same time?
Yeah, absolutely. Mount Lemmon Highway is officially open again. And, you know, while we see temps in the 60s and 70s down here, it's still winter wonderland up there. And when I think winter, I think cold weather comfort food at the Iron Door Restaurant, an iconic Tucson eatery. Where do you even start? Warm cornbread and honey, bacon, mac and cheese, Iron Door chili, bratwursts with German potato salad. That's what I'm talking about. I say head up to Mount Lemmon this weekend and enjoy some comfort food with your frolic in the snow.
Yeah, I wonder if that snowsuit still fits you, Matt, after all these years.
I wouldn't bet on it, Bill.
A quick shout out to Inside Tucson Business, the column, please.
Yeah, a new lineup of premium mezcals has just arrived in Arizona, but there's only one place in the entire Grand Canyon state that you can get them at the moment. Here's a tease. It's in Tucson, but you have to read my column for the details. And it's in this week's Inside Tucson Business, Bill.
All the best to you, Matt Russell. Thank you. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by Chris Stefan. Thanks to Rose Brandt, who makes sure all those podcasts get up in a very timely manner. Also, a big shout out to Tom Fairbanks, my producer, and the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson. All of us wish you a safe and pleasant weekend. Have a good one, everybody.